Today is Pro-Life Sunday 2020. It is the Sanctity of Life Sunday. And as we look at this today, we are going to talk about the sanctity of life. And what does pro-life stance, what does it look like? And that's what we're going to hit on today. So it is a very, very intense subject. But I believe that the Bible is very clear about life. And that life begins at conception, and that at the end of life, no matter how old you are, there is still intrinsic value in every life, and we have to understand that through the lens of God's Word. So let's pray, and then let's dive into what we are studying today. Lord, we thank you so much for the challenge that your Word brings to us, and we thank you that as we touch on issues that maybe we struggle with as a community and as a nation, Lord, we can still have the unity of your word that it says so clearly that you value life at any stage. And I pray that you would help us not only to believe that, not only to have the right answers or to be able to argue eloquently, but that we would have compassion and that we would have care and that we would act on the things that we believe in a way that really brings help to the situation. And so we pray that you would help us as we look into this passage and look into this issue today, that we would focus clearly on your word and your word alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Sanctity of Life Sunday 2020. Often we know that the biblical matter is to protect life at all costs. And as a church, Vermontville Bible Church, we are a pro-life church, and we don't shy away from taking that stand that we were made in the image of God, Genesis chapter 1, and we bear his likeness. Jeremiah 1:5 in the first part of that says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." God has a plan for each and every life, and each life has value at the moment of conception. Do we believe it, though, ultimately? Do we believe it practically? Do we believe it when we look at ourselves? Do we believe it when we look at our neighbor? Do we believe it when we look at those who have different opinions than us, that have different beliefs than us? Do we believe that all life matters from the moment that they are conceived until the moment that they pass away? And I believe that we should, as a church, be those who are living out and called to action. We're not just told to know the truth from God's word. We are called to act on that truth. If you look in James chapter 1, we're going to turn there this morning. I believe that a lot of our message will hinge off of this. And as we're going through it, just understand that when we believe something, we have to act on it. James chapter 1 and verse 22 through 25. James chapter 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Now, when they mention the mirror, they're probably mentioning that there's something wrong there that needs to be fixed, that needs to be addressed. And so when you look in a mirror, do something about it. And that's what the Word of God is for us in life. It is a mirror that we glance into and we realize and we understand. And maybe we come across things that we believe, but then we walk away from it and we do not act on what we say we believe. And so what do pro-lifers call us to do? How should we respond to the fact that God is pro-life? What does championing pro-life causes look like? And I think pro-life has to consist of so much more than just head knowledge. Pro-life has to consist of so much more than head knowledge. How can we act on God's pro-life stance? That's the question that we're going to address this morning. How can we act? There are 10 ways. You're like, whoa, 10 ways. 10 ways that we can actively champion the pro-life stance of God. And today we are going to move through them because I believe as we have this head knowledge, we need to put it into practice. And so we're going to have some very practical ways of how we can be involved as pro-life people of God. So number one is to set aside time to pray about how you should be involved. Set aside time to pray about how you should be involved. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 says this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Recently, Brittany and I were unsure of a very vital decision. We were actually on the opposite sides of the spectrum as far as our own desires were concerned. And we decided that on our own, we would pray about the situation. We would pray about what we would do, and we would wait on the Lord to give us peace one way or another. And what was involved in that was actually a silence in regards to this situation as we were talking to each other. We tried not to bring that up so as not to influence or coerce the other one into believing differently. And if God was leading us to make this decision, then he would make that very clear to both of us. Now, as we go through it, and as we go through disagreements, we must always realize that God is not going to change. It is our hearts that are going to be changed. And so as we open up our hearts to God in prayer and we talk to him, our hearts are going to come in line with his will. And if both of us are seeking out his will and both of us are praying about it, we are going to agree on what the ultimate action would be. And if you don't agree, then check the heart. Check your heart. Check each one of your hearts for sin that may be keeping you from clarity, and understand that in time, the Lord will give you unity in your heart. But also, move forward. Keep walking with the Lord. Pray for the lives of the elderly. That's how we can be involved. Pray for the lives of the elderly. We're not just talking about babies here this morning. We're talking about the poor. We're talking about the sick. We're talking about the weak. We're talking about the lonely, the brokenhearted, infants, and the unborn. We're talking about all of these people who are vulnerable, and pray for those who are preyed upon and cannot defend themselves. Prayer can bring self-control to prevent forcing action in our lives that we should not be taking. But also, prayer can reinforce the peace and the strength that you will need in order to act when you're wanting to sit back. When we lack wisdom, we're told to ask of God. And in the context of James chapter 1, it is talking about trials, and it's talking about really big difficulties in the Christian life. And so as you go through life, you realize there probably hasn't been a lot of weeks that there hasn't been a lot of difficulties in your life, that there hasn't been a lot of trials. And so when we lack wisdom, James 1:5 says we should ask God for wisdom. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. When we ask God for wisdom, he's not saying, how dare you ask me? Don't you just trust me? Aren't you just going to do this your own? Aren't you going to be able to think through this issue? But as we come to God, he is not going to scold us for not having the answers. He's going to give us clarity to step in the direction that we need to take. We should be praying not only for our own decisions, but for the legislators and pro-life issues. We should be praying for our community in pro-life issues as we take a stand. And sometimes we are well aware of the direction that God is nudging us, whether it be to act or to sit back. We're well aware of the direction that God is nudging us, but it takes prayer to really be able to talk through the details with him. So the first way we can actively champion the pro-life stance of the Lord is to pray. The second is to consistently treat all life as valuable. I believe that it is so important that not only do we protect the unborn and advocate for the unborn, but we also treat all life as valuable. When the scriptures express that we should love others, it means your neighbor that drives you crazy. It means the person under your charge at work. It means the churchgoer that constantly gets on your nerves. God has called us to love one another, and it is hypocritical of us to value life in the womb and to care little about people and life after they are born. We should never cut funding for the immediate needs of children, the immediate needs of people. We have to love, we have to have the love of God within us, and we should allow it to control us and also guide us. A biblical mandate has been called for us to treat people as they were created in the image of God. Treat people as they were created in the image of God. And that supersedes any political divide, and it rises above any policies at all. We should love and care for people not just to the point where we tolerate them, but to the point where we identify with feelings they're feeling. And we understand, we put ourselves in their shoes. We empathize and we care. This means that we give grace. It means that we go beyond just having a policy, but we develop interactions with people, communicating with them, and developing those relationships that are necessary to create any change. Because I believe that it starts at the heart and it starts at relationship level, that people will actually be able to make the changes and also have the support system in which they can make changes. We should love people, care about them, and this means that we give grace, develop personal connections with even those across the aisle from us and those from other countries. We humanize them. We make sure that we realize that each person is an individual human that matters to God, and as that is made in the image of God. The second way we should champion the pro-life stance of God is to consistently care for all people. And the third way is to support biological parents who choose adoption for their child. I know this may seem like something that is like, oh yeah, we support that. But it is a very overlooked thing. Very overlooked. As people make a decision, it can be one of the most selfless choices in life, to choose to place your child into the arms of an adoptive family. So many families who make this choice, they struggle along the way. And they wonder, did I make the right choice? And the truth stands, and the truth should be continuously encouraged that they chose life. And we should help them and be there for them as they process the many emotions that come with placing a child for adoption. A friend that is there can make all the difference, and you can be that friend. We don't have to be special advocates in order to be there for people. There are people right in our community that need help with this situation as well. And any friendships that we can make can really make a difference in their life trajectory. Many times they're heading down a course, and just offering healing words that Christ brings and offering the healing life that Christ offers can make all the difference in the world. We also cannot forget to provide friendships to those who have chosen abortion. In offering friendship, we are showing that we care about them. We care about individuals. We care about people. And that God has a heart of forgiveness. This doesn't mean we gloss over things, but this means that we stand with them in forgiveness. A heart that came to the world. That God came to the world as a baby so that we could be saved through him and escape that condemnation that is brought by sin. So we need to be ambassadors for Christ. John 3:17 is very clear about the coming of Jesus and why he came. John 3:16 and 17 is a great passage that we should turn to. John 3:16 is very familiar if you've been in your Bible much. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then getting to the verse that I mentioned, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Condemnation already came through sin, and death already comes through sin. But Jesus Christ came to pay that penalty, to offer forgiveness, to offer reconciliation in our relationships. And so it's very clear about the coming of Jesus and how it was not to condemn, but to deliver. We want to be those agents of reconciliation as God is reconciling the world to himself. So the third way is to support biological families who choose to place their children into an adoptive home. And the fourth way is to support the homeless and the poor sustainably. Support the homeless and the poor sustainably. So this is a very sensitive topic and a very sensitive issue. But I believe the sustainably part is the part that's going to take a lot of effort from each and every one of us. Because it's very easy to put band-aids on situations. It's very easy to give one time and then to leave it in their hands. But there's a time when we can come alongside them, offer mentorship. Thank you very much. There we go. All right, the best way that this can happen is through providing work, mentorship, and discipline. It takes patience and a large investment. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 is referring to Paul and the apostles, and it's talking about how he invested into them with his life. And I know many of you are thinking, man, I've got enough going on in my own life. And I would say that Paul probably thought the same thing when he wrote this in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says this very clearly, so affectionately, longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, so that wasn't left out, but also our own lives. Our own lives. Because you had become dear to us. There are times when we are going to take so much time out of our own desires, our own ambitions, our own plans, sometimes our own families and with our families, and we are going to be offering ourselves to the Lord's service for others. This means we sacrifice our time, we sacrifice our comfort to follow up and walk with people through some of the life circumstances that they have found themselves in. Sometimes they're digging out. They just need a temporary hand up to get moving forward, and they need a pattern, and they need a safety net in us. So become mentors for them. Show them that you're in a position, that you are able to be the one in position to help. Commit to reaching out to one person in need. This is an action point. Walking with them through life for a week straight, and try to maintain some continued contact after that. Provide a ride to their job interviews, if you could. Until they have a way to get there. So it takes time, it takes advocacy, it takes stepping in to another person's situation and to help out. Fourth way is to support the poor and homeless. The fifth way is support foster children and families who foster. James 1:27 shows us the natural acts that will flow out of someone who is purely following the Lord. And as we look at this, it's James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and Father, and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I don't believe that this is as much a command as it is a result. And as we live for the Lord, and as we're living for Him in His Word, and we're growing, we are going to be having this happen, where we take care of others that are less fortunate. As we follow the Lord, we will care for the needs. It will just happen. There are several families who are involved in foster care around you, if you look closer, but there is not nearly enough to fill the needs. Not nearly enough to fill the needs. And a great way to help is this is actually something that a lot of people don't know about. A great way to help foster families is to become a certified respite care provider. What does that mean? It means you can step in for a few days, maybe just a couple hours in order to provide a break for them. And give them 24 hours or so to regain sanity and to reconnect with their bio children who have sacrificed a piece of their family as well to help out other kids. Other ways are to provide diapers, bottles, formula, clothing. I met with Jennifer, trying to think of the last name. What's her last? Galoo. Galoo this week. And she's got a foster closet in Charlotte that can always use diapers and other items for foster families, as well as clothing and donations. So provide those things. Many foster children are also in dire need of these things, and having it provided so that the foster parents don't have to worry about it would be a huge blessing. Sponsor an activity for foster families, maybe a baseball outing or something like that. Provide jobs and training to foster youth who are going to be aging out of foster care. If a child ages out of foster care without being adopted or getting connected to a mentor, The statistics are overwhelming and endless as to the impact that that has on child and on you as well, on society as a whole. Every child should have a loving home. The question is not, what may I be giving up if I get involved? The real question is, what might I be missing out on? Philippians 2:17. Turn there with me if you could. Philippians 2 is a real big chapter on humility, and it goes on. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Then it goes down to verse 17. It says, yes, and if I am, I will wait for a second so people can get there. James 2:17. It says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. He was thrilled just to take part in this, and it was, and it did cause him to pour out himself and to offer himself to serve. So the fifth way is to support foster children and parents. The sixth way is to advocate for those in slavery and sex trafficking around the world. You think this is a distant thing? Every single day, women and children are preyed upon to be involved in forced factory work because of their vulnerability, and are also unable to be set free because of their dependence on the work to have food for that day for their families. Lots of these situations are where people are faced with extreme debts, and they feel forced to offer their bodies to the highest bidders. Oftentimes, they lack medical care and nutrition that they have to have any sort of longevity to their lives. And because of that, they end up leaving the next generation without any parents to raise them, and the cycle continues. At times, we think this is far off, but recently a large sting operation was done in Warren, Michigan. Warren, Michigan, on December 20th, 2019, led to the arrest of 46 individuals involved in this trafficking ring, and 106, I believe, infractions on them, and the freedom of many trafficked women and children. And I was just reading about trafficking in the United States, and they say that the way that this happens is not like a lot of the movies depict. It's not usually an abduction anymore, especially with social media and the things that they have now as far as blackmail. All it takes is one little incident, and then the person, usually a partner that knows the person, usually a relationship, a friend, gets them involved in this, and before they know it, your friends and your neighbors are involved in sex trafficking, because they cannot get out of it because they feel the shame of the blackmail that's been threatened them. So advocate for them. Support legislation to help refugees in foster care, to help refugees in general, and pray that God's will be done in this complex situation. There are many ways in getting involved in helping with the refugee crisis so that those lives are valued as well. And so that the children, no matter what circumstances, are shown love. We should always try to provide the best chance for people to come that are coming to our country for safety to be able to achieve it. And so we want to encourage and pray about this situation. Our hearts should break for people, no matter what happened. And we should be compassionate towards all people, even if they are from outside of the United States. So there are programs, there are biblical, Christ-centered programs that are available through Bethany, that help with this situation. There are programs through Samaritas in this area that provide training for us to be involved in helping the refugees that are flooding into our states. If we embrace the ways that we can help, we will bring a personal solution to a problem that we have viewed from a distance. I think that we fear becoming too involved that we may get a little bit messy, but we should be all about getting our hands dirty for the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, we can value the elderly. Where do they come in this mix? Well, you know exactly where they come. It can be very hard. As people's dependence increases, they can feel less and less valuable to society. Years ago, we had a nursing home service that several people within our church led on Tuesdays, I believe. Was it Tuesdays, Diane? Yes, Tuesdays. So, and it reached out to those who are bound to a care facility. Some ideas for this type of outreach on a smaller basis, for you, if you wanted to start it right now, would be volunteer to eat with residents. Go and volunteer and see the front desk and ask, can I eat with the residents? Play games with them? Play music? Talk one-on-one? You will be blessed when you talk one-on-one with the elderly. They have so much experience, and they, very similarly to your life, have gone through very similar things. And so as you talk with them, you will see how much of a blessing it is to you. Don't be afraid to invite them over for dinner at your house as well. If they're not confined to a home, or if you can get them out for a few hours, try and figure out a way to do that. Offer rides when it gets darker earlier. Why? Because sometimes the eyes start to fail and it's hard to get different places. Road trips, I imagine, are always welcome as well. Offer. We should never view people as a burden because they are image bearers of God. And they're here for a special purpose, although we may never know that purpose. I know that is a sad statement, but it's a reality that many of them struggle with. What is my purpose? And so as we go and we spend time with them, we can start to show them that the value that they speak into our lives and the mentorship that they can speak into our lives is valuable. Advocate for people struggling with a disability and those caring for them. It's so important to try to connect with anyone who has struggled with a disability because they were created by God and have so much potential to bring glory to Him. We should always try to actively to accommodate those who are handicapped and find a way to include them as much as possible. Slowing down to care for someone is never wasted time. Slowing down to care for someone is never wasted time. Slowing life down in order to care is biblical. We need to care for the helpless. And even more important, we must notice those that are constantly caring for the disabled. That we seize the opportunity to be involved in the care so that we can experience the blessings that come from caring. If we think we are doing someone else a favor by taking over for a short time, we will quickly learn how much of a blessing it is for us and how much we learn when we undertake this challenge. So the ninth way is to become advocates for the disabled and their caretakers. And the tenth way is to volunteer and fund the local pregnancy resource centers. We have to be advocates and we have to be there with resources for these families that are in need. Volunteer and fund local pregnancy resource centers. Alpha Family Center in Lake Odessa has just opened. They're working to offer educational courses, ultrasound technology, family and individual counseling, as well as help with job searching and researching resources available to families. I have three more folders from Alpha Family Center that is in Lake Odessa now, and if you would like more information on them, please take one of these folders. We can get more later if we need more. So that's the Alpha Family Center in Lake Odessa. These family centers need willing volunteers as well to offer their time to counsel. Right now, their need is so great that they have women that are counseling men, and they'd really like to get some men to come alongside and to offer some advice as well. And so if you have the opportunity to do that, you can contact Krista Wetzel. We should not only attend ministries that cater to our comfort levels and our needs to be satisfied, we must also instead be inviting discomfort into our lives and reaching out to the lost culture around us. Hopefully, when we as a believer stand in for those experiencing unplanned pregnancies and other struggles, we can keep those pregnancies from becoming crisis pregnancies by providing family growth teaching and also spiritual growth teaching. Those are the two things that can really help, is to provide for them a sustainable way to live. Psalm 139 does say, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows that very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." There are several ways to get involved in God's pro-life stance. How are you involved? How would you like to be involved? We have to avoid the excuse that we don't have the strength, because God has always promised when we follow His will, He will provide the daily strength that we need. We may be exhausted and think, how am I going to make it 2 days from now? But He will provide the strength for today and the hope for tomorrow. Allow your heart to be actively involved in intense advocacy for the sanctity of human life. What is the sanctity of human life? The view that all life is valuable. All life. Titus 2, 6 through 8 is how I want to wrap up today. Titus 2, 6 through 8. Paul is talking to young pastors, and he's saying, likewise, Titus 2, 6, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, so weigh your speech, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Having nothing evil to say of you. Many of the accusations we get as a church globally is that we stand for pro-life, but we withhold a lot of the ways that we can truly advocate and help out where we need to. And so we must be doing the will of the Lord, so that when people say bad things, it will not hold up. That's where I believe Vermont Bible Church can be, and that we can do this in God's strength. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the truth of your word, and that this church already stands so firmly on the value of life. In any emotional and tough passages, and any stance can be very difficult for many of us to stand up for. But I pray that you would help us to stand firm for the right reasons, and that we would stand firm in the right areas, and that we would be pro in the areas we must be pro in, and that we would not forget about all of these other issues that can come. We pray that you would help us to be practical in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.